All right, as we get ready for our last session here, we're going to do a little kind of thought and reflective work. And I'm going to ask you guys to sit a little bit closer together, like you kind of like each other type of deal, if possible. All right, so over the past couple of days, we've had an opportunity to cover quite a few things. You guys did a great job because we've been, I'm gonna say, slamming a lot of information and stuff and techniques at you within just those couple of days, and you've done a good job of picking up the basic essence and principles of what we're talking about, and then realizing it's not just about technique, right? But we're elevating our heart worship. Right? So when we think about this from the end goal, whenever I do this, is we want to elevate the heart worship. And the thing is, when we do this, both of them will elevate at the same time, right? So it's not one or the other. As we work, both of them will. So of course we did scales and chords and those different type of things and listening in parts. So we discovered that this congregation, we gave you a grade. So your grade was a D. And so yesterday, though, you guys moved from a D up to a D sharp, right? So as I was listening, just depending on the ranges of the voices, I'm like, wow, they just moved up half a step, right? So, which is great. Now, of course, as I said, for song leaders, that just simply means that when you lead songs that are in the key of D, that's going to be the most comfortable spot for the ranges for those here in your congregation, right? So you want to keep that into consideration maybe when you're making up your songs that, okay, we want to have at least one song that pops for the service this Sunday. So it's going to be key D, D sharp, whatever, somewhere in the D range for what we have. All right, how many people warmed up this morning? Okay, so stand. We're going to run up and down the scale. So if you didn't have an opportunity, now will be your opportunity. So when you offer your first fruits, you can offer your first fruits. All right, so we're just gonna run up and down the scale just a few times here. Do. Sopranos will hold that do, alto, sol, tenors, mi, and then bass, you'll come down and hold the do. And we're listening for that chord. When they all come together, there should be a nice, wonderful chord there. Do. Is we're gonna go all the way up to the top, we're gonna come back down, we're gonna hold the chord, I'm gonna point to here, and it means you're gonna project the last note out. So projecting from here, not here, okay? So you're not yelling and screaming, you're projecting it from here, okay? Here we go. Do.
Do re mi fa sol la ti do
can be seated. Good. All right. So this week, our lesson's been based upon Mark chapter 14, and we were just looking at and applying the insight, some of the lessons when we're talking about that we learned from the woman with the alabaster bass there, or jar. And so the first thing we saw that we noticed that she came, she had this pricey, this costly ointment and jar, and she was willing, of course, to offer the best that she had. Right? And so that's what this weekend has been about, getting ourselves prepared to be able to offer the best that you have, right? It's like if you're going to go give a speech or something somewhere, you practice because you want to give the best that you have. If you're going to give a lesson, you're going to do your study because you want to give the best that you have. Well, singing shouldn't be any different, right? It shouldn't be any different giving the best that we have. And I'm just going to share with you, Jonathan. So Jonathan said something that yesterday in his prayer that just, and I told him I was going to steal this from him, right? But in his prayer, he talked about God, and he talked about this concept of giving us a taste of heaven within our body. Amen. And I'm like, that was powerful, because that's exactly what God has given us through singing. We get a taste of heaven through this physical body. Amen. That God has given us. Kudos, bro. I love it. Keep thinking like that. I love it. Great. But willing to offer the best that we have. The second thing we saw, of course, she broke the flask. And during that time, once you open something, that was it, right? And so it represented that she was totally committed. And so for us, we have to be totally committed. And so we talked about, well, what does that look like? And so being totally committed might mean that, okay, if I know that I'm song leading, I'm getting my songs ready, whatever Monday, I'm through the week, I'm working and I'm practicing on them, I'm pitching and doing all these different type of things so that when I do get up to lead, I can give my best. Or if I'm there as part, I'm going to say, of the choir that is there during the week, I'm working on my songs, I'm singing, I'm letting them play whatever in the background so that my brain understands and knows the song. Being totally committed. The last point I want to make is this. Now, if you remember the story when she does this, there were some there who were kind of scolding her. So they said, for this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And so they scolded her. So this is the last thing I want you to think about, because it can be an end result of the two. So sometimes you're willing to give the best that you have and you're totally committed. But you need to realize that sometimes other people will attempt to devalue your commitment. That's what they were doing. They were devaluing her commitment, or attempting, right? And so this is where those first two have to be so important to you that no matter what other people say, no matter how other people attempt to devalue, that that commitment is such that you're still going to offer your best. Amen. Right? And it comes from some of the unlikeliest places. I remember one time I was scolded because they're like, you smile while you sing. I was like, okay. And I said, would you like to know why I smile while I sing? I said, because when I'm singing, I'm picturing myself being there before the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They're there on the throne and I have this opportunity to sing to them. I'm there. My aroma is coming up for them. And I said, you know what? That makes me smile because that's where I'm at. And they're like, oh. So the thing is, sometimes people will not understand, and your level of commitment. Oh man, why are you always singing? Why are you always working on your songs? And then they get angry, or once they got angry, because everyone is here when T-Bone leads songs, or everyone shows up when T-Bone leads songs. Well, it's really not me, but I'm just practicing and I'm giving the best that I have. And you know what everyone knows? When T-Bone gets up there, he's going to give the best that he have. That's when we talk about the commitment. That's what be oozing out of our pores. That people know that we're giving the best that we, and you know what that means? That means that people want to follow you because they know that you're giving the best, and then it lifts them up to give the best. That's what we're doing. Iron sharpens iron. We're encouraging one another. And so I always say it's never like this. This is never you looking up to me or me looking up to you, because that's not how the Godhead works. The Godhead always works like this. Father, Son, and Spirit all see each other as equal. They all see each other as equal. That's the divine nature of the Godhead. And that's how he's created the family. So we're always looking at one another. One another. All right, so now we're going to get a little personal here. And so I'm going to ask you guys for this. You can give me a question. So why do you sing?
Express our joy and praise to God.
Express your joy. Okay?
Makes you feel good.
Encourage others.
To what?
Encourage each other.
Worship. Okay? So we all have different things. For some, it's like, well, it's a command. You know, if I don't sing, what is God going to do to me, right? So that's, I call that the God with the frying pan mentality. But sometimes that's where we start out, right? Sometimes that's where we start out. Some people, well, I like to sing. I like music. So that's why I sing. Or, you know, it's one of the acts of worship. Now, that question, why, if there's something about it, and it's this. It's what we call a determiner. So the question why is a determiner. So it answers the whole overall reaching, whatever your reason is. Okay, so when I say why do you do something? It's a determiner. Okay, so whatever your whole overall reaching answer is, that's your why. Okay, but there's another question. So now I'm going to ask you, what motivates you to sing?
The others around
you. Okay, the others around you?
Love.
Love.
I sing because it makes God happy.
Okay, makes God happy?
Joy.
Okay, now, I asked that question, what motivates you to sing? And that's because what motivates you to sing is not an overall reaching. What motivates you to sing is in the moment. It's the here and it's the now. The why is your overall reaching, whatever, act of worship, love, joy, kind. But what motivates you is what's in the moment, in the here and now. What is motivating you to sing? So in other words, this question about what motivates you to sing is always changing. It's constantly changing. It's dynamic because what it's doing, it's reflecting on what's going on inside in the internal, in the moment. So what is motivating me to sing this song at this time? Because it's not the same song. It could be a different song. And so when we come from that perspective, whether we're singing, whether we're leading, this is where the soulfulness comes in. This is where the joyous comes in. This is where the contriteness comes in. This is where the repentant heart comes in, because in that moment in time, it's what motivates me to sing. Have you ever had stuff go on in your life, and then you come in and you sing the song, and those were just the words that you needed to hear?
Amen.
That didn't hit your why. That hit your what motivates you at that time, that those words meant so much to you. And that's what we're talking about, that dynamic relationship that takes place. So for each song that we sing, I need to be, okay, what's motivating me to sing that song? How are those words connecting? How am I connecting with those words? How is my internal, who I am, tracking with what's going on inside of me? What motivates T-Bone to sing? I kind of put down here, I said, each song for me is an avenue that allows me an opportunity to express to God and others my relationship with him, and it offers another way to connect my heart to them. Remember, it's we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with me, so I always say them, individually and with my brothers and my sisters, right? And so when I think about that, putting that all together, you could kind of say that's kind of my why. But then for each song, what motivates me, it depends on what's going on there. All right, let's talk a little bit. We talked a little bit about science this week. So Psalm 139, verses 14 through 15 simply says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. That's really interesting how God has created us. And I believe that because God has placed this within us, whether you think that you don't believe in God or not, there's no way that you can deny it. Like, well, how can that be? So let me share with you. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. So let's say you don't believe in God, right? And you go to the Grand Canyon. And when you look at the Grand Canyon, you go, oh, why do you do that? Awesome. You think that it's awesome. Something in you says that it's awesome. My soul knows it very well. Wonderful are your works. So no matter how much you try and deny it, your soul can't even deny it. Amen. That's why you go, oh, or you look at the mountains, you're like, oh, whoa. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. So when we think about this from a music perspective, we saw that God created music to do different things. We saw that when you listen to a piece of music, if you enjoy it, God actually created your body to respond in a certain way. So your pupils actually start to dilate, your blood pressure actually starts to move, you start to actually sweat a little bit because your heart is moving a little bit faster. And what happens in the brain is the cerebellum actually starts to activate what we call bodily movement. So have you ever noticed sometimes you'll start tapping your feet? And you're not even thinking about it, you're not tapping. Because God created music in such a way that when the music hits your brain, the brain starts redirecting blood muscles to your legs and to your hands. He created it that way. Right? He's like, whoa, what is he's connecting things. That's why, because we talk about the limbic system, that's why you can put kids in front of a TV or whatever and put some music on and you haven't taught them anything and they just start going. Haven't taught them anything. Why is that? Because God created music that once it goes into the brain, it starts shooting blood to the muscles, to the feet, and to the hands. And that's why you feel, oh, I feel like raising my hand. Well, because God created that, that's how music works. That's how music responds. That's how the body, that's what goes on in the body. It works with the limbic system. What did God create in music? You ever feel like you have chills running down your spine when you sing? Yeah? All right, so we talked a little bit about this, how music stimulates the brain emotional circuit. So we've got dopamine being released. We have serotonin being released. Remember, we talked about oxytocin. That's what caused us to kind of like each other here, to bond. And then we have all these different neurotransmitters. So God is giving you a neurochemical bliss for singing. So whatever you need. So if we're singing that song, you need comfort, you sing it, and the serotonin starts releasing and you start feeling better. You need to be hyped up, the dopamine comes out and you start getting excited. Oh, I love that Great I Am song. The dopamine is being released. Oxytocin, and then there's another one, and maybe if I do part two, I'll show it to you. But there's a song, I was at in North Carolina, and so we were doing the camp there. And I had a group of teenagers that were there, and I just wanted to see if this worked. And so what I did was, I played the song, and it's called Father, We Have Sinned. And the song is in a minor key chord, right? And so they start listening to the song, and then the words of the song says, Father, you know, we have sinned. We've made greed our virtue while the children are starving. And when they finished listening to the song, the teenagers were almost in tears. Amen. And they're like, wow, they're like, we didn't expect that. And I'm like, well, the song is in a minor key, so it's a hitting different part of the brain. And then combined with the words, it causes you to be reflective. That's how God created music to work for us. And so we saw all these different things in the brain last time when we're talking about reward, cortisol, releasing stress, and those different type of things. So music is created to help and allow you to feel more. That's one of the things that God created. And you guys ever read that, you know, scripture in Zechariah where it talks about God sings? You ever think about it? God sings. That's what the scripture says. God sings. So how important is it to God? God gave us an intrinsic physical reward for singing. Left brain, right? So when we're talking about these different type of songs, like we said, minor chords stimulate different type of things. Right side brain usually hits the major chords. It tells what the major chords are. So then it's going to release a different type of neurotransmitter. We talked about how when we look at psychology, some of the major issues we discover is that a lot of the dysfunctional issues that people are dealing with is because, of course, they're suppressing and holding the feelings in instead of expressing them. But God has given music as a way to be able to express the joy, to be able to express the repentant heart, to be able to express the contrite heart. And so he's given you something to, I'm going to call a pressure valve, to relieve the pressure. So when he says sing, it's for your benefit. So God created emotions purging, so we need to make sure that we're not demonizing them. So what does it look like when we elevate our heart worship, our song worship? Now remember, music itself, just singing, activates three lobes of your brain. There's four, okay? So you got your parietal, your frontal, and your temporal. The only one that doesn't operate or activate is the occipital. So remember, now this is where our visual processing has to come into place. We have to visualize if we want to be able to use all our mind while we're singing. It's interesting because the research and stuff that they're doing, they're noticing, of course, that music helps with Alzheimer's, it helps with dementia. As soon as they start playing, it brings the person into this lucid for the moment while the music is going on, and then they go back off into the dementia, right? And one of the coolest things I think that they've discovered, that they think they've discovered, that they believe that music is the last thing that leaves your brain when you die. Now, I want you to think about that from a follower of Christ perspective. The music is the last thing that leaves. And then when you transition, it might be the first thing that you hear.
Praise God.
How beautiful is that? How awesome is that? Singing is a privilege. Worshiping God with our voices is a privilege. So we're going to learn our last song here, Not For a Moment.
Save me, not for a moment.
All right, congregation, let's give it a shot. This is our last one. The words are beautiful. Words are beautiful. All right, so let's stand up for this one. Get that diaphragm, everything open. Do for the so for the altos, me for the tenor, so for the bass. And that is the Elohim Yahweh that we serve, who will not forsake us. And so now we have an opportunity to go before him and offer our first fruits and not forsake him, because he does not forsake us. All right, we'll have our closing prayer and then we'll get ready to start our worship service.
Thank you, T-Bone, for everything. Let's bow. Our great and majestic Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity, for this whole weekend, to come and to learn from T-Bone, to learn how to elevate our soulfulness and our worship service to you in order to make it more pleasing for you, if at all possible, because you are worth everything that we have and more. And we ask that you take what he has given us, and we ask that you, that we can apply it not just to our Sundays and our Wednesdays, but to every day, to become even that much more precious to you. And we ask that you, we can take these lessons and take them out into the world and to show everyone who Elohim is and who we serve, and to just become the salt of the earth that you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.